Our scripture reading for today is taken from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning with the 8th verse. And our Lord says, "What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. When I was 11 years old, there was a lot of unrest in our country. It was a time of great protest against especially the Vietnam War and different actions by the government. Not too many years ago, when I was probably in my 40s, I remember watching a documentary on the Kent State University riot and what's sometimes been called the Kent State Massacre. It was about a two-hour documentary. It was interesting to see it now from an adult perspective, having been so afraid of that when I was a child. But during that documentary, I remember there was about a 10 or 15 second clip inside of it, an interview with one of the people who had been shot. On that day, back in 1970, in May of 1970, there were four people killed, four students who were shot by Ohio National Guardsmen. There were nine who were wounded by 67 bullets that flew around that campus that day. One of them happened to be a young man, a college student, who had been coming out of one of the dormitories and had seen the commotion on campus and was heading that direction but was quite a ways from it yet. And one of the stray bullets came all the way across the field and struck him in the neck. And he thought for sure he was going to die. And as he grabbed his neck and all of the blood coming out as he fell to the ground, he says in this documentary, he lived, obviously. He says in this documentary that the one thing on his mind was asking God to forgive him for all of his sins. And the documentary goes on, of course, and shows all of the other commotion. And I remembered as I was watching it thinking, if Jesus was sitting next to me here observing this documentary, that's the part where he would have sat up on his seat. And he would have paid specific attention. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in the world today, a lot of big headline news, a lot of things on the plate of the President of the United States right now, the economy and budget crisis and two wars going on. All of the world leaders around the world, all of the big important events that demand their attention. But when it comes to the attention of God in heaven, when it comes to what's on his plate and what is of the most serious concern and demanding of his attention, this is what it is. What is going on in Don Molstead's heart? What's going on in your heart and mind? What's going on in your conscience? This is where our Lord Jesus likewise focused his attention during his earthly ministry. I always remember that story of how the friends of the paralyzed man tore off the tiles of the roof to drop their paralyzed friend down in front of Jesus so he could be healed of his paralysis. And thinking of what a scene that was, the house was so full of people to hear Jesus and to see him do a miracle that they couldn't even get into the doors. And here they dropped this man down in front of Christ, probably by ropes and so on, lowering him down. But what does Jesus pay attention to? Not the man's paralysis, which certainly was important, and he does heal him. But prior to that, he deals with the most important issue. He knows that this man's heart is troubled by his sin. And he says, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Right now, you might be completely wrapped up in doing something in your life that you know God does not want you doing. Your own conscience might even be aware of that. But somehow you've convinced yourself that because of who you are and where you are in life, that this is okay for you. You have managed to justify it for yourself. And you may feel that, just like a coin, you have managed to roll out of the pocket of God and away from Him, and have now hidden yourself under a chair or in a dust pile that is so well concealed that He'll never find you. Your sin might even be your pride that thinks to yourself, my life is so good right now, I can't even think of anything that I would have to confess before God. My sinful flesh loves to procrastinate when it comes to repentance. It's easy for me to think that my sin is something someday I'm going to have to admit before God. Yeah, I'll get to that. But right now, it's just too much fun. Or right now, there's a reason why I can justify it for myself and think it's okay for me to be involved in. Or another temptation for us when it comes to repentance is what you might call smorgasbord repentance. To think that we can select certain things of our life that are going on that we can bring before God and, yes, ask His forgiveness for that, but then there are other ones that we want to hold on to. There are other ones that are just a little too close to our heart to let go of right now. And we're tempted to think that holding on to that sin and staying with it is really not of any great spiritual consequence for our lives. When a little boy disobeys his mom, maybe she told him to do something specifically and he did not do it, and she now confronts him, and he stubbornly refuses to admit that he did it wrong, and he stubbornly refuses to admit that he disobeyed her, and in a sense he wants to keep living in his lie. That's the part that bothers her even more than the infraction before that. Yes, our sin truly angers God, whatever it may be. But nothing angers Him more than when we stubbornly refuse to repent of it and don't want to admit it before Him and continue living in the lie. Notice in our text with this beautiful little parable that Jesus has of the woman sweeping her house for the coin, how Jesus focuses His attention on this tiny little activity known as repentance that goes on in a person's heart. And we see that so often in Jesus' ministry, don't we? We think about the woman who had been caught up in sins of probably prostitution that now came in repentance and was crying at His feet, wiping His feet with her hair and so on. We think about the woman who was caught in adultery that Jesus came to spare. We think about the thief on the cross. There's so many instances in Jesus' ministry where that's really where He pays His attention, to this little seemingly insignificant activity that you can't even see with a microscope, repentance, when it takes place in a person's heart, because that's where God is truly then at work. And we see it here in this parable, the woman's diligence in seeking through her whole house to find this coin, how important that coin is to her and for her livelihood. It's of such great concern that she scours her house to find it. We're told she searches carefully, even to the point of searching at night with a candle. When you lose something that's of tremendous value to you, there's a sense of urgency to find it. God is accommodating Himself to how we think in our world when He uses this as a picture of how He's looking for you and me. The great value that He places on our souls, the value that He places on having us at His side someday in heaven, and that can only happen through repentance of our sins and coming to a knowledge of His grace through the work of His Son, our Savior, who went to the cross on Calvary to make atonement for every sin that would have kept us away from God. Notice here the sense of great urgency in the seeker, in the woman representing your gracious God, who even now today seeks to find you. So if you're sitting here today and there's maybe some particular thing on your conscience that's really bothering you, maybe even happened years ago, well, know this: the candle of God's grace has spotted you in the corner, hiding under the chair. And God's eyes today then have lit up with joy. And he stoops down through his grace and even through my sinful mouth. And he now retrieves you into his gracious hand. This is the soul, yours, that caused him to send his son to the cross. And this is the soul he wants to repossess and make sure that it can enjoy heaven someday. And now it's time for heaven to celebrate. Amen. Please rise. This week we received word of a horrible accident that took place in Sweden, and it involved some of our Bethany College students. A number of our students are in Sweden right now with a trip with our soccer team with Coach Rob Pipel. His daughter Joelle was in a car accident, and the girl next to her in the accident, the driver, was killed. And Joelle was injured in the accident, but is recovering and doing well. So let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for sparing the life of your child, Joelle, through this terrible accident. We ask that you would be with her now, and also with those who now suffer the loss of her friend, Catherine, comforting them with your gracious word. Teach us to number our days in this life, that we may gain a heart of wisdom through faith in Christ our Savior. Continue to grant Joelle healing to her injuries according to your will, and strengthen her in her love for you and in the wonderful hope of salvation you have given us through the work of our Redeemer, through whom we pray. Amen.
Keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Heart and peace.